Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from St. Paul's epistle letter to the Ephesians, the fourth chapter, which you heard read earlier. Over the past several weeks, we've gone over the first three chapters of St. Paul's letter, and those three chapters can be summed up as the doctrine of the one holy Christian church. We heard that God chose you and all people in Christ for salvation before the foundation of the world. You and all who are in Christ are saved not by your works and deeds, but by the grace of God alone, through faith in the one who bled and died for you on Calvary's cross. In Jesus' death and resurrection, he has united you and every tribe, every people, language, and nation, all into the body of Christ, into one flock, making peace between God and mankind. Christ himself is your peace. So we too, along with St. Paul, humbly kneel before our Maker, praying that he might strengthen us with his mighty power so that we grow up into the knowledge of Christ's love. For he alone is far more able to do, he is able to do far more abundantly than all we can think or ask. But now when we get to this morning in chapter 4 of Paul's letter, he shifts from the teaching of the doctrine of the Christian church to how your life as a Christian is shaped in accordance with this doctrine, so that there is unity within the body of Christ. He writes, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Now, at first, this sounds like a law statement. It sounds like it's a command. You should do this. You must walk in a manner worthy or else. Jesus did all this for you. Now it's time for you, in turn, to do all this for him. But that isn't what Paul is saying. The sinful man inside of each one of us is always quick to look for a way that we can pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and cooperate in our salvation. But we can't. As I said earlier, you're saved by grace through faith. Neither your walking nor your works have anything to do with your salvation. Apart from Christ, you are a dead man walking in sin and trespasses. So St. Paul is not telling you what you must do, but he's telling you what has already been done. You have been called. It's a gift from God. The Holy Spirit has called you by the gospel. You have been called out of the darkness into the marvelous light of Christ, who is the light of the world. Christ himself is the one who makes your worthy walking possible. And because you have been called, St. Paul urges you to walk in a manner that is appropriate with your calling as a redeemed child of God. And what does this walk look like? He tells us humility, gentleness, peace, patience, bearing with one another in love, maintaining the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Oh, that's a problem for the sinful man. These attributes don't naturally reside in any descendant of Adam. What does reside in you and me is pride and self-centeredness. You are by nature hard and impatient with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You're unwilling to tolerate their weaknesses and their faults. And how can you and your sinful self possibly create unity and peace? Again, St. Paul isn't telling us what we must do, but what has already been done. You don't create unity. True unity was created by Christ's atoning death on the cross, where he made us one with God. And just as God called you, he established unity in the body of Christ. That's why St. Paul urges us to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This word maintain means to hold on to something, as not to give it up or don't lose this thing. This unity is your blood-bought gift from God. Unity and the bond of peace. And of course, you and I would do well to hold on to it tightly, cling to it, so that we do not lose it, bearing with one another in love, humility, gentleness, and patience. It's how the Christian lives. Just like going to church on Sunday morning, it's what Christians do. So living with one another in love, humility, and gentleness, that is the life of the Christian. Now, of course, you and I cannot do it perfectly, but that doesn't mean that we should not try to achieve it. You have been given the Holy Spirit, who helps shape and form your life according to the Christian doctrine. We call that sanctification. What our good Lord, the good work he began in you in baptism, he will bring to completion on the last day. A lifelong process. St. Paul continues, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. As we confessed earlier in the Nicene Creed, I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge the baptism for the remission of sins. It's like Paul is putting together the creed in reverse order. Instead of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he has Holy Spirit, Son, and Father. Well, according to our confession of the one holy Christian apostolic church, the Christian church is not located in a building of brick and mortar. It's located wherever the gospel is purely proclaimed and the sacraments are administered according to Christ's institution. And only those who believe in Christ, only those who are in Christ, are members of the one Christian church, members of the one body created by the Holy Spirit, who calls and gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies all believers and keeps them in Christ Jesus in the one true faith. The same Holy Spirit has called you out of your hopelessness into the objective hope that you have in our one Lord Jesus Christ. The objective hope of salvation by Jesus' blood. There is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, and it is those baptismal waters by which you entered into the holy ark of Christ's church. It is where you were granted new birth and given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in this church, there is only one God, Father of all. He is eternal. He has no beginning, he has no end. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present. And Paul says that in this one church, grace is given. Grace is given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Well, and what is this measure of Christ's gift? It is Christ crucified for sinners. It is Jesus' holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death, where he drank the cup of the Lord's wrath down to the very dregs. And because there is only one body, every member of the body receives the same measure, the fullness of Christ. Now, to illustrate this thought, Paul continues to quote the psalmist, saying, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. So picture in your mind a bunch of freed slaves or prisoners of war parading down the road behind the king who has just won victory, safely delivering them home out of their bondage and chains. After creating true unity in his body on the cross, defeating sin, death, and the devil, Jesus descended into hell to proclaim his victory, kind of thumbing his nose at the devil, you might say. And then 40 days after his resurrection, he ascended back into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, this seating at the right hand of the Father is not a physical place, but it is a position of all authority given to Jesus by the Father. And from that position of authority, Christ pours out the spoils of his victory, forgiving sins, granting life and salvation, setting you and I, the captives, free from our bondage of sin. Now, unfortunately, there are those who are not interested in salvation. And there are others who do not want unity in Christ. Some, in an attempt to create their own kind of false unity, the false teachers, they preach misleading doctrines with cunning, craftiness, deceitful scheming to suit the passions of the hearers. Instead of building on the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, and Christ, who is the cornerstone, these wolves in sheep's clothing lead many astray, tossing them to and fro so that they're carried away by every wind of doctrine. And it is for this very reason that Christ has given his church the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. God has given the church all these people to build up the body with pure teaching and preaching. But to be sure, it's not just these who are listed here, but it is brothers and sisters in Christ like you as well, who are called to proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. You see, whatever your station in life or in whatever vocation you have, you are to share the word of the cross, Christ crucified, to save sinners. Because if you think about it, who does a pastor hang out with most of the time? He hangs out with the sheep. But you are out in the world amongst the unbelievers and the unchurched. The pastor is called to equip the saints and build up the body through the office of the holy ministry and to reach the unchurched as well. But it is in unity in the body, each given according to their measure, to witness Christ and him crucified. God has given the office of the holy ministry to teach and to preach and to forgive you of your sins. Your sins of not walking in a manner worthy of the calling that you have been called to, and also to proclaim the gospel and administer the sacraments. So invite your unchurched friends and your unbelieving neighbors to worship, so they too might attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness in Christ. It sounds like a tall order. Gee, where do I begin? What do I do? How do I reach out? Paul gives you the lesson. Paul says, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head. Jesus spoke Jesus spoke the truth in love, whether it was in the gospel or in the law. Christian lives are informed by the law, But then we are formed and shaped into the body of Christ by the gospel. And maturity in the faith and unity comes by speaking the truth of the gospel in love, which causes us to grow up into Christ, who is the head. As I said last week in the sermon, Christianity is not an individual sport. I throw that in there because the Olympics are going on. Christianity is not an individual sport. You are all parts of the body. All who are in Christ are different parts of the same body, members of the whole body. Paul says, joined and held together by every joint in which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. It is the Spirit which creates the bond of peace that unites us together. It is your blood-bought and God-given unity by which the Spirit strengthens you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling that you have been called to, bearing with one another in love, humility, gentleness, and patience. Scripture never commands you to like your neighbor, but it does say, love your neighbor. Jesus wants you to love your neighbor as yourself with humility, gentleness, and patience. And wherever the individual Christian performs work for the call which he has been given and called to, the unity of the body is enriched and the members are drawn more closely together, living in peace and harmony with one another. And we share one another's joys, and we bear one another up when there are burdens and sorrows. Working through God's prophets, apostles, teachers, and pastors, the Holy Spirit works and causes us to grow into the unity of Christ's body, united under his word. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.